This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Are you all ready to get into the Word? Well, good deal. Let's do it. Well, hey, in Luke 10, you don't have to turn there, but around verse 38, for a few verses, you see a story where Jesus visits the house of a lady by the name of Martha. And while he's there, you see that Martha is really busy getting things in order. She's kind of in servant mode. I'm sure she's in the kitchen because Jesus is on site, right? And so she's there just serving and getting things prepared. But then she has a sister by the name of Mary. Now, according to Scripture, Mary was down at the feet of Jesus just absorbing everything that he had to say. I mean, she was taking advantage of the presence of Jesus at that moment, right? And whenever you read on, you'll see that Martha at some point basically asked Jesus, hey, can you tell my sister to come in here and help me because I need some help? And Jesus says, Martha, what you're doing is really good, but Mary has chosen the better thing and I'm not going to take it away from her. Here's the thing. Mary was taking advantage of the presence. I need somebody to say the presence. The presence of the Lord at that moment. In looking at this story, I've thought about this a lot of times because I think there's been times whenever I've been really busy doing ministry stuff, meetings, planning, all that kind of stuff, but a lot of times I don't take advantage of the presence of the Lord, right? Has anybody ever been guilty of just staying so busy with stuff that you don't take advantage of just really getting in the presence of the Lord? I've been there, and it's a problem for a lot of pastors, I think. I think it really is. But what happens is over time, that'll lead you to a place to where you're just really dry spiritually. That's where it'll take you. It's a dangerous place to get. Today, we're going to talk about the need for private prayer. The need for private prayer, because we'll see here in this story that Mary took advantage of being right there with Jesus in his presence. And then we're going to see in the life of Jesus while he was on earth that he prioritized time with the Father as well, right? Not just Mary was prioritizing time with Jesus, but Jesus also prioritized time with the Father as well. Jesus, who was God, came to earth as a human, but he spent time in prayer with the Father. And we see this in Scripture, for instance, in Luke 11:1, where it says, one day Jesus was praying. Y'all see that? Praying in a certain place. Now, let me just ask you this morning. If Jesus spent time in prayer, how much more do you and I need to spend time in prayer? Because he had his act together. I don't. Right? I don't think any of us can say that we have our act together compared to Jesus, right? And so if he spent time in prayer, we need to as well. Now, whenever you look at the life of Jesus, he was an amazing leader and he was successful in all areas. In all areas. I mean, he accomplished what he was supposed to do. Whenever you study great leaders, or we can even talk about like high-level athletes as well, they all have a way of doing things, right? I mean, so for instance, great leaders, they probably have their day very structured. We'll talk about Olympic runners for a minute, just as an example. Olympic runners have a way that they train. On race day, they're going to do the same thing every time. They're going to wake up and eat the same breakfast before they run. Why? Because it works for them. At no point is an Olympic runner on his way to a race going to say, hey, let's pull over at Waffle House because I'm feeling like getting some hash browns smothered, covered, and shattered. Scattered. Not shattered. Scattered. You can get them so many different ways. But that would absolutely be a disaster, wouldn't it? Jesus had a way that he did things as well. We'll see that. Whenever you look at the miracles, whenever you look at the power, whenever you look at him accomplishing his mission, what was the secret? It was prayer. Scripture shows us that it was prayer. Even though he was God, he still prayed. He humbly, hear me, he humbly put aside his divinity. He came to earth. And he put himself in the place of a servant just like you and I. And he had to completely rely on his communication and relationship with the Lord to be able to accomplish the mission that the Lord gave him whenever he sent him to earth. So he modeled prayer for us for a reason, and we need to really pay attention. Here's the truth. Spending time in prayer isn't just for the super spiritual. It's not just for people that have a lot of time on their hands. It's for all of us. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, it's for all of us. It's for all of us. And prayer is actually a direct indicator of your relationship with God. I want you to hear me just for a minute. You may know a lot about the Bible. You may know a lot of biblical facts or stories. But if there's no prayer, I want you to know there's no relationship. If there's no prayer, I don't know how you know the Lord. I mean, Regina and I, we've been married now for 18 years. But if we don't talk to each other, what does that relationship look like? There isn't one, right? Because I need to know her. She needs to know me. So there's got to be communication. Whenever you look in the Word, as far as the Gospels go, Luke writes more about the prayer life of Jesus than any of the other authors. And so today I want us to look at three ways that Jesus benefited from prayer. Y'all ready to go? Good, good, good. All right, number one, Jesus received direction. Somebody say direction. He received direction in prayer. We can get direction whenever we pray and we seek God, amen? Just a funny story. On Wednesday, Regina asked me, she said, how's your teaching coming for Sunday? And I said, terrible. It's going terribly. And I actually started all my teaching Sunday night, all right? So, I mean, I had a solid 6 days to work on this. And I worked on, and I had a direction I was going, and I worked on a Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and it just, you know, in the words of my dad, it was running like a three-legged dog. It just was not running well at all. It was not coming together. But with that said, I'm spending time in prayer on Thursday, and the Lord tells me, you're going down the wrong road, you know? And he said, I want you to speak on, guess what it was, prayer on Sunday, right? He gives us direction in prayer. Now, connected to just direction, in the last couple weeks, I've just really been seeking God about some big decisions that we've got to make as a church, and it's really good stuff. You know, it's nothing crazy. It's good stuff, and Regina knows this, that there's been some things that I've just been real nervous about moving forward with, and in the last 2 weeks, the Lord has given me just clear direction. I want you to know he wants to do that for you as well. But Jesus consulted God the Father, and he was obedient to do what he said. Look at what happened in Luke 6:12. It says, one day, soon afterward, Jesus went up to the mountain to pray, of course, and he prayed to God all night. At daybreak, he called together all of his disciples and chose 12 of them to be the apostles. Now, this was a big decision because Jesus needed a team, and it was this team that was going to turn the earth upside down, right? And so he wanted to make sure that he had the right team. So scripture says that he prayed all night. And then the next day, he makes that decision. So in praying all night, he got direction from the Lord so that he could make a good decision. Because here's the thing, he wanted the right team. He needed a Peter, he needed a John, he needed a James, he even needed a Judas and a Thomas. It was the perfect team to accomplish the mission that God had for him while he was here on earth, right? And so he receives direction in prayer whenever he's praying that night. Here's something that we all need to understand. If we don't consult God whenever it comes to big decisions, if we don't consult God, we're really missing out. And life is going to be a lot harder than it really should be. I need y'all to hear me today. I mean, there's a lot of decisions we really, really need to consult God on. And it's not every little tiny decision. You know, my kids love Dairy Queen. Do y'all like that $7 deal that Dairy Queen has? Okay. So we were there the other night, and I get the chicken strip box, and they're like, what kind of sauce? And I went like, hold on, I got to seek God just for a minute. Because everybody knows white gravy is the right answer, right? But I mean, you know, you're not like having to pray over before you order it, you know, a fast food joint. But there are things that we really need to bathe in prayer. You know, there are a lot of believers that haven't really prayed about the person that they want to marry, about whether they should buy a home. They've not prayed about what kind of career they should go forward with. And a lot of times what happens is they look at facts, they look at numbers, they get opinions from friends and family, and they're like, well, it makes sense. This is what we're supposed to do, because they're going off of emotions and feelings. Let me tell you something, emotions and feelings that get you in a bind in a hurry. We cannot be ruled by our emotions and our feelings. We need to hear from God. I told you a story just a few weeks ago in our family series where my dad bought a chicken farm, and it was the worst financial mistake he ever made. It took them years and years and years to pay off this, and it looked too good to be true on paper. And Mom the whole time said, we are not supposed to buy this farm. I know we're not supposed to buy it. My dad was just bullheaded and said, we're going to do it. We need to seek God, amen, for these types of decisions, because we don't want to mess them up. And here's the truth. Whenever we make a large decision, or we make decisions without consulting God, it shows arrogance on our part. Because it's just showing, well, we've got it figured out, God. We know what we need to do. Here's what I know. I'm not very smart. But I also know that He has all the answers. Amen? And why are we not asking the one who has all the answers to guide us daily on decisions that we're making? Come on, somebody. Does that make sense today? We need to ask Him for His help, for His direction. Amen. The Father wants to give it to us. And whenever we go to Him, it really shows humility on our part. It shows humility. Just one thought for us is Jesus was a carpenter before He went into full-time ministry. Whenever He's doing ministry, we see that His prayer life, it was constant. We see that He prayed every day. We see that He prayed at night. He prayed constantly. You can see it throughout the Gospels. But Jesus' day was pretty much like this. He would pray, and it was like, God, what's my assignment for today? We can see this in Scripture. And we need to be at that place to where we spend time with the Lord. Lord, what is it that You would have for me to do today? This is why I'm a big fan of spending time with the Lord in the morning before the rest of the day, so that we can do that. We can say, Lord, what is it that You would have for me to do today? Now, maybe you're thinking, Gene, I got to go to work. I can't ask the Lord what He's going to have me to do today because I can't take off. No, listen. He's going to show you how you can do kingdom work throughout your day. So He may show you, listen, whenever you go to work, Sally, who works with you, had an awful weekend. And you need to just simply ask her how she's doing. Because then Sally's going to get really open with you, and she's going to share with you what's happening. And then you're going to be able to pray for Sally, and you're going to help bring comfort into her life. And I'm going to be able to move in her life. Does that make sense? Or He can just show you throughout the day, hey, here's somebody that needs some prayer right here. Just begin to pray for them. You know, so he will give us these opportunities to be a blessing throughout the day, but it's good to start our day by saying, Lord, how is it that You want to use me today? Does that make sense today? How is it that You want to use me? Because we see that's what Jesus did. For instance, in Luke 4, starting in verse 32, it says, early the next morning, Jesus went out to an isolated place. The crowd searched everywhere for Him, and when they finally found Him, they begged Him not to leave. Now, whenever He went to that isolated place, there's a reason He went there. Why? To spend time with the Father. Verse 43, but He replied, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that's why I was sent. So He continued to travel around, preaching in synagogues and throughout Judea. Now, let me set this up for you just for a minute. The crowds were following Him. Again, He was just trying to get by Himself to spend time with the Lord, and they're trying to find Him, right? But He had been in Capernaum at this time, and y'all, like, the Lord was just showing out. Great things were happening. Healings were taking place. People were being ministered to. I mean, you could say there's revival happening at this time. But here's the thing, while Jesus was spending time with the Lord, the Lord revealed to Him, it's time for you to go elsewhere. Jesus got direction from the Lord. And it might be like, well, why didn't He stay there? Great things were happening. How many of you know the Lord has a plan? Amen. The Lord has a plan. And so Jesus was obedient to do what the Lord said. Now today, before we move on kind of to our next point, I just want to share with somebody today, I believe there are some people in here that are really needing direction in their life. that you've got some decisions you need to make, or you've got something going on in your family or with your work, and you say, Pastor Gene, I need clarity. I need clarity on how to move forward in these instances in my life or these situations in my life. I just want to encourage you, you need to get alone with the Lord. We see that Jesus, in verse 42 there, we see that Jesus went to get alone so he could hear from the Father, right? And too many times we have so many distractions going on. We have so much noise in our lives, right? We have the TV on. We have the radio on. We have social media up on our phone, and we start watching reels or whatever it is, and it's just one after another, after another, after another. And the thing is this, is that we are so distracted, and we think, I don't have time to pray. No, we really do. If we just get honest, we really do. Because if we were to all look at how much time we looked at some sort of screen, whether it's hanging on a wall or whether it's in our hand, we would be embarrassed by how much time we're looking at a screen, right? And here's the thing, there are some of us that we've got some huge decisions that we need to make, but we're so entertained by electronics and media and social media and all this kind of stuff that we just won't put it down whenever we need to shut it off, put a phone in another room, go get alone with God for more than just a couple minutes and just really seek God. I want you to know he's going to bring clarity in your life whenever you do that. He's going to bring, and don't sit there for 5 minutes and come out and say, well, I didn't get nothing. Come on now. Truthfully, because some people will do that. Some people will do that. You got to spend time with the Lord. The more you talk to him, the more you're going to hear him start to talk to you. There's got to be dialogue, amen? And so you can receive direction in prayer. Number two, Jesus received power. Somebody say power. Power in prayer. Now, this one really excites me right here, because here's the reason why. Christianity is not a powerless faith. Amen. That's good news, y'all. Christianity is not a powerless faith. There's a supernatural part of our faith, amen? It's supernatural. And I want you to think about this. No other religion sees the supernatural take place. You won't see miracles in any other religion. You won't see healings. You won't see people getting free from bondage, people getting free from addiction. It doesn't take place with any other religions. But in Christianity, it's a different story, right? It's a different story. And Jesus demonstrated a supernatural faith. And here's the good news. We can too. We can as well. In John, he tells the Jewish leaders this, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing. Somebody say nothing. Nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. The Son also does. Now, let's go back, and I mentioned this earlier, and I want to remind you that Jesus came to earth as a human being. He set aside his divinity, right? He was clothed in humanity. Are we all in agreement on that? I want you to understand that whenever he healed people, whenever you see the miracles in the Gospels, it was not because he was God. Some of y'all are looking at me like a dog looking at a new pan right now. It was not because he was God. And some of you are wondering, well, then why was it? It was because Jesus was in right relationship with the Father. We got to bring some clarity, don't we? Let's do that just for a minute. Let's talk about this. John 14:12. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Anyone. Somebody say anyone. Anyone. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are an anyone. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works. Amen. Will do the same works I have done and even greater works. Are y'all reading this too? Did he mean this, or was this just like a feeding us a line? Is this for real right here? I mean, it's in the Word of God, right? He says, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. Now, I want you to understand this. Jesus didn't do his miracles because he was God. Otherwise, we could not do the same miracles or greater miracles. Because he came to earth as a human, it was because he was in right relationship with God. And whenever we get our act together and we're in right relationship with God, we're full of faith, then we can pray big prayers and see big answers to our prayers come to pass. Amen? We can see miracles happen. He says it right there. He says it right there. I mean, look in Acts. Peter's shadow healed a man. Peter wasn't God. Was he? No. We see that Paul just touched handkerchiefs and then those handkerchiefs were placed on people who were sick and they got healed. We've seen the miraculous happen here. I mean, there's multiple people in this room that have prayed for people and they've been healed just like that. It happens. It can happen. God wants to use you too. I want you to hear me. God wants to use you too. But I want you to understand, power will not come from a prayerless life. You don't just wake up with power one day. That's not the way it works. Power comes from prayer. Amen. I'm going to say it again. Power comes from prayer. Amen? Yes. All right, now look. Let's look at verse 16 here of Luke 5. So he himself, talking about Jesus, often withdrew into the wilderness and he prayed. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I love one translation says, the power of God surged through him to heal the sick. Jesus' prayer time, though, is what brought power. Do you hear me? His prayer time is what brought power. And you need to understand that prayer isn't just some kind of B12 shot of faith. That's not what it is. It changes how we think. Listen, whenever you start to spend time with the Lord, whenever you understand his word, it's going to change the way you think. It's going to build your faith. It's going to take it to another level. Often you'll hear me talk about having a renewed mind, which comes from Romans. But here's the thing, it'll start to renew our mind. Whenever we spend time with God, we'll start thinking more like him, amen? And it'll keep us from thinking like the world, because whenever we're not spending time with God, then we're thinking like the world is what takes place. And so that's even more of a reason that we need to spend time with God. And here's the thing, whenever we spend time with God, then we can receive power as well. Listen, people need you to walk in power. I want you to understand this. Because there are people out there that they need people full of faith in their life, ready to pray for them. You see, the world can't offer that. People that don't know the Lord, they'll say things like, whenever you're walking through something, well, I'm sending good vibes to you. I don't even know what that means. But here's what I do know. It doesn't do squat for my situation. But whenever somebody's full of the Holy Ghost, got their prayer life up here, and they say, let me pray for you. Come on, somebody. It's next level at that point, amen? I mean, I want somebody that's going to pray for me that they know God can and will do anything. You know, that even though the doctors have given somebody a diagnosis and says they're going to be dead in the week, they're going to go pray for them anyway. Not even caring what the doctor said. Knowing what Scripture says. Knowing their authority. Knowing that power comes through prayer, amen? Knowing that God wants to use them to do great things. I love it whenever people are prayed up and they want to pray for me. The world, hear me, needs a supernatural Christianity. That's what they need. But it takes prayer on our part. It's going to take prayer on our part. Number three, Jesus received healing in prayer. Everybody say healing. He received healing in prayer. Now let's talk about this just for a minute. Jesus was personally healed in prayer. Now, as we've said a couple of times already today, he was clothed in humanity, which means that he needed ministry just like you and I often need. I want you to understand something. He experienced pain in his life. He experienced loss in his life. We know for a fact that his father, Joseph, his earthly father, died, of course, at some point before Jesus was crucified. But he experienced the same type of things, temptations just like you and I do. Hebrews says, though, he was tempted in every way, but he did not sin, of course. But he experienced the same kind of things that you and I experience. Why? Because he was here on earth as a human, just like us, right? We can think about the night that he's in the garden there at Gethsemane. It's just before he's about to be crucified. We know that he was in absolute agony. He was in agony because he knew what was coming up. So much so that he started to sweat drops of blood, which, by the way, is a real medical condition. You can look it up. But he's absolutely in agony. But the Lord brought him through that. Why? So that he could ultimately get to the cross for you and I. But if we were to back it up a little bit, most of you have probably heard of John the Baptist, right? John was a bit of a ministry partner. And whenever I say that, John was a little bit older than Jesus, and John came to the earth with this mission, and that was to point everyone towards Jesus, to prepare the way for Jesus. In addition to that, they were related. They were cousins. But whenever you read in the Gospels, you'll see that John was ultimately executed. He was beheaded. And Jesus got word of that. Now, we've all lost a loved one at some point, probably all of us. But Jesus gets word, and it wasn't John died of natural causes. It was that he was literally beheaded. And so just think of what he was feeling at that point. He didn't just lose his cousin. He lost kind of the guy that they were somewhat partnered together with the same goal in mind, ministry type of goal. Does that make sense? And in Matthew 14, verse 13, it says, "Now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself." He needed to get away. He was crushed on the inside. But at the same time, it says that people heard of this and they followed him on foot from the cities. Now you've got Jesus Christ, who is at a place, again, as a human on earth, has the same feelings we have. I mean, you know, he's experiencing what we would experience had we found out that our relative was just killed in such a terrible way. And so he's dealing with all these feelings, and he tries to get away to have some time alone, to spend some time with the Lord, because he's hurting on the inside, and, well, people are following him. As you read on, you'll see in those verses that Jesus actually has compassion on that crowd. He's just awesome like that, isn't he? He was hurting, but he sees other people that need him. So Scripture shows us that he had compassion on them, that he healed them, and ultimately he and the disciples ended up feeding this multitude of people that were following him. But then if we jump to verse 23, it says, after he had sent the crowds away, this is after they fed him, this is after he had ministered to him, this is after he had healed a bunch of sick. After he sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And he was there all alone by himself. Now again, let's just go back through. He had a relative that had just been executed. He was dealing with all the emotions of that. Tried to get away because he needed just the Lord to work on him on the inside. But then the crowds follow him. He has compassion. He ministers to people, heals people, feeds people. But then he realizes he's got to go get alone with the Lord again, because he needs healing on the inside. And this time with God, this healing, here's the thing, it enabled him to continue on with the mission that God had for his life. Now listen to me just for a minute. I know that there are a bunch of people in here that are carrying around wounds right now. You're carrying around hurts. You're carrying around scars right now. Things that you've experienced in the past. And for a lot of you, what's happened is that those things that you've experienced, maybe that trauma, I don't know what it could be. I know there's probably a number of certain situations in here or situations in here. But those things have got you to a place of you're just not moving forward with the Lord. They've somewhat paralyzed you and you feel like you just can't move forward anymore and you feel like there's no joy. I need you to hear me today. He knows every situation in here. And He wants to minister to you and to heal what's going on the inside of you. I appreciate doctors. I appreciate that we have them and what they can do for us. But I want you to hear me today. Nobody can fix the inside of you, the heart. Because I know some of you have hearts that you feel like they have absolutely been shattered to pieces. And nobody can put that back together like He can. And I want you to hear me. He wants to put it back together. He wants to heal the wounds that you've been carrying around for maybe years, for maybe decades. I don't know how long it is. He wants to heal the hurts that you've experienced, that you just have a hard time getting past. For some of you, you feel like every smile that you put on is fake. For some of you, you feel like I have not really smiled with joy for a long time. I want you to know he wants to work on you because He's ready to see you smile again. He's ready to see you full of joy. He's ready to see you full of hope so that you can wake up excited about being alive. Hear me. He wants to work on the inside of you. And I want you to know this. You can't experience this healing unless you're spending time with Him. Hear me just for a moment. I got to get real with you just for a moment. A lot of times, what we'll do whenever we're going through, you know, situations like this, we will ask everybody to pray for us. I mean, it's like we're trying to get as many people on our list to pray for us as possible. But here's the thing. Are we praying ourselves? I can pray with you. I can agree with you, but I can't do your praying for you. You need to hear me today. And it's going to take you getting alone with Him for you to be able to receive that healing on the inside of you. Only He can do it. Only He can do it. And again, we love doctors, but y'all, He can do it better than anybody. He can do it better than anybody. Amen. Come on, today, if you will, just bow your head, just close your eyes. I feel like the Holy Spirit just really wants to work on some people this morning. Just heal some areas of your life that you've just been hurt, you've just been wounded. Today, if you're here and you say, Pastor Gene, there's definitely some hurts that I've been carrying around and I feel like it's just kept me from moving forward. Maybe you say, you're right, I haven't really smiled in a long time. If that's you today, and it's just me and you, everybody's got their eyes closed. Would you just show me and just show the Lord, Lord, I need your help. I need you to just touch my life. Come on, if that's you, just slip a hand up. Amen. Y'all, there's hands all over here. Come on, get real with God. Amen. Amen. You can put your heads back or your hands back down. Lord, we come to you today. Lord, we thank you that you are the great physician. Lord, you can heal us better than anyone. God, you created us. And Lord, you can heal us physically. But Lord, you can also heal us on the inside, God. Emotionally, Lord, you can put, Lord, things back together on the inside of us, Lord. And so, Father, today you see your children here, that Lord, they need a touch from you. Lord, they've got some wounds that they've been carrying around that they need the great physician to begin to heal. So Father, we just come to you today, and Lord, I just ask you to start working in their lives right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray that as a church, we begin to prioritize prayer, Father. Lord, individually in our lives. Lord, that we're spending that time with you. That we're getting to know God Almighty. And Lord, we know that as we're spending time with you, Lord, as we're talking with you, that Lord, we're going to hear from you. Lord, that we'll receive direction. Lord, that we'll receive power. Lord, that we'll receive healing as well. And Lord, I just declare right now that God, as this church body, Lord, as individually, as we're praying, that Lord, you're going to show us how we can be a blessing to others. That Father, in the mornings, Lord, you're just going to show us how we can be used to touch other lives, God, to make a difference in the lives of others. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory for that.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amason. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.